You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
That's what we spoke about next. And maybe that's where you are today. Contend for that. God will get you through that Red Sea that's in front of you. Then last week, what we looked at was that in the wilderness, where it looks barren, it looks like nothing is happening, God is still able to provide for you. God can supernaturally provide even in a wilderness. Even where, and that's the difficulty, because many times when we look and we see nothing going on, we want to start doing our own thing. We want to start reproducing our own little thing and taking it into our own responsibility. Listen, stay the course, trust God. He will provide manna in the wilderness. He will provide where it looks like there can be no provision. What we're saying is our security is in God, not in our own ability. And so the three things, but what I'm going to say today is, even though you can be saved, so you're out of Egypt, even though you've gone over your Red Sea, you've been delivered, even though you're in a wilderness and God has provided for you, that's faith, there are still some enemies that are coming after you. You're not out of the woods, so to speak. Look at someone and say, you're not out of the woods yet. That you got to keep going. You're not out of the woods yet. There's a terminology that means, listen, it's not just over yet. Because if it was, I mean, no, we would all be over. But there's more to it than that. And this is, I believe this message is the most important message of all the series. I believe that this message is going to help you the most. I believe that this is going to be the best sermon you've ever... No. That's a bit too boastful, man. I pray it will help you. Exodus 32 verse 4. I'm just getting too excited. Amen. Thank you, brother. The Bible says, and he received the gold. This is talking about Aaron. From the hands, and he fashioned it into an engraving tool, and he made a molten calf. What this is a golden calf. Basically looks like a bull or a cow. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So that Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And when they rose up on the next day and drank and rose up and played, and really what he's talking about here, they started to have a party, they started going raving, and maybe they took off all their clothes and they started, I don't know what they were doing. Well, I may know what they were doing, but I don't want to say. And the Lord said to Moses, go, get down from your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you for your anointing. We pray, Father, that you would move in this place. We ask you for your presence. Father, without your presence, this is a waste of time. We cannot do nothing. We really believe that your presence is the defining factor in every service. And Father, I pray that you would break some strongholds today. Father, I pray that we would leave here different. We ask you this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. What is this passage? This passage is Moses is, let me give you some background. Moses has gone up to the mountain and he's going to receive the tablets from God. God's commandments, how to live. And while he's up there, the children of Israel, they actually say this, where's this Moses dude? Where's this Moses guy? And so Aaron, they say, you know, you need to make a God for us. And so Aaron says, bring all your gold. And so they get all their gold earrings and they put them in and they melt it down and he makes this golden calf for them. And then when they bring it out, they say, hey, look, this is God. This is the God that brought us out of Egypt. This is him. Tomorrow, we're going to have a feast for him. And so the next day, they come out, they're playing the music. They're probably having an orgy. They're singing, it's getting hot in here. Let's take off all our... And that's what they're doing, dancing around this calf. Now, God sees this. How many know God sees everything? So God sees this and God says to Moses, yo, Moses, stop. We got to deal with something. You need to go back and sort out them people. Sort out your people, because your people are nuts. They're going crazy down there. And he says, listen, they've corrupted themselves. You got to remember, this is Exodus 32. This is after coming out of Egypt. This is after the Red Sea. This is after the manna. And now, the Bible says that this has become one of the most dangerous things they ever did. I want to preach a sermon about the pursuing idol. Because this is something that Israel has to keep getting over. This idolatry, the golden calf. And this is something that we've got to deal with. See, everything in this situation has been turned upside down. What do we mean by that? A blasphemous perversion. We know in the Bible says what? God made man in his image. God made man in his image. What we see here is it turned on its head. What we see is man making God in his image. Man has now made God out of his own imagination. From what? From his own self. And they actually say, think about this now. They didn't say, oh, we don't want to serve the God that brought us out of Egypt. We don't want to serve him no more. We don't, Moses, go on with your God. We're going to have our own God. Let's make our own God. They didn't say that. They said they made a God. They made an idol. And they said, this is God. This is the God that brought us out of Egypt. What they were doing, they were projecting their own identity onto God. They said, this is God. This is what he looks like. Where did they get that from? From within themselves. See, when you make something, if you're an artist or you draw something or you put something together, you envision it first in your head. You envision it first in your head. All the decorations here, all everything that was designed here, at one time, it existed just in someone's head. All the clothes you've got on today, someone designed them. Before they were ever physically made, somebody thought of it in their head. If we get that purple blouse, if we get that black t-shirt, someone thought of it in their head. And what happened here is, before Aaron starts to make this golden calf, he's thought of it in his head. He's like, yeah, I'm going to make, this is God. They reject, they project what they believe God is outward. Exodus 20 verse 1, the Bible says, and God spoke all of these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image, any likeness of anything which is in heaven or above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. What it's saying is that God told them, listen, I don't want you making any images about me. I don't want you trying to figure out what I look like. This is why we don't promote crucifixes with Jesus hanging on it. Why are you making a graven image of Jesus? That's not Jesus. Jesus don't look like that. You don't know what Jesus. It looks like Jesus. You don't know. You weren't there. And we don't have any pictures of Jesus. We don't have Jesus with selfies with Peter and Paul. We don't have anything. Well, you don't know what it. You shouldn't have that. That's a graven image. God told you don't have that. That's why we don't have any pictures of any of the saints or anybody here. Because the Bible told us not to. But they said, no, we're going to make God. See, people today, people still have golden calves today. People are still projecting what they believe God should have. Let me quickly go through this. There are some people, they're projecting what they believe God should be like. So when you tell them that God sends people to hell because they sin, they don't like that. I don't believe God will send me to hell. But God said he would if you don't repent. I don't believe it. What you've done is you've made your own golden calf. You've projected from within you. Because where did you get that God wouldn't send you to hell? Where did you get that? You got that from you. So you're projecting onto God and saying, that's the God I serve. You got to get this. Don't miss this. They did not reject God. They didn't say, we're not following God. They just said, this is how he looks. Sex outside of marriage is wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. But you won't admit that it's wrong. What you're doing is you're projecting onto God. You've projected onto God. No, God said. Let me give you another way that people have a graven image. There are people that they will not serve God because they don't understand God. They won't serve God. Well, how can God be three in one? I'm not going to serve him till he's God. He's outside of your understanding. You're saying until he does what I want him to do, I won't serve him. Well, you'll never serve him. Because really, you've already got a golden calf. There are things about God that he's just like, that's it, I'm God. He's God all by himself. He doesn't need you, he doesn't need me. Just like the sun burns. It doesn't need, you know, the sun don't need none of us. God forbid if I died right now, nothing would change in the sun. The sun will just keep on burning. Oh, no, no, just keep going. I've said it before. If you die right now, the planet doesn't shudder for a moment. Like, oh, you've died. The planet will just keep turning, spinning in space, held in its place by gravity and the grace of God. See, today, let me ask you a question. Are you following your own projection of God? Or are you following the revelation of God? See, which God are you following today? Are you following the God of your own making? Or are you following the God of revelation? What do we mean by revelation? The Word of God is the only revelation we have about God. We would not know. This is why we have a Bible. This is why we have to have a Bible. We have to have the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. Because this is God saying, look, this is who I am. Look at me. He's revealing himself. Because otherwise we'd be wandering around guessing. That's why people, I could come and say, hey, I'm God. Which God are you serving today? See, many people have corrupted themselves with their own God. Now let me start to move into the body of the message. Where did this image come from? Because, listen, if you would have said to me, make an image of God, like even before I was a Christian, I wouldn't have made a cow. Am I alone here? Does anybody here, like if we said, okay, blank on your mind for a moment, now think of what God looks like. Did anybody, a cow came to mind? Like, where's the cow? Where do you get a cow from? Like, not even like, you know, you might have made a giant or a mighty man, but a cow? A calf, not even a little calf. I'm like, where'd they get that from? They got it from Egypt. That's where they got it from. You got to remember, these guys have just come out of Egypt, man. And they've just, this is where they got that from. They got it out of Egypt. See, Ezekiel 20 verse 8 says, but they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not all cast away the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Now stop there. It says, what it's saying is, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they saw what the Egyptians were worshipping. It says they did not totally abandon the idols that they saw. So when they were in Egypt, they saw the Egyptians worshipping all these different animals. And so it's going in them, their environment. And so it went into them. And so let me read on. And it says, and so they this has gone into them. And you shall not make for you. Sorry, I've already read that one. Let's go down. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. Acts 7 verse 39 says, whom your fathers would not obey. Speaking about your descendants, they didn't obey God, but rejected that in their hearts they turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Now, what's the point I'm making out of this? Is that in Egypt, they saw the Egyptians worshipping these golden calves. And they started to go absorb this. And then they basically, what they've done is now they're making their own God. Now, let me ask you a question. When you see somebody say things about God, that God wouldn't do this or God wouldn't do that, where did you get that from? You've got that from someone else. You've got that from a different spirit. You got that from when you was in Egypt. See, what happens here is that They are out of Egypt. Yes, they have gone through the Red Sea. Yes, but something is still following them, and that is their idols. You can be saved. You could be delivered. You may have faith, but your idol is still following you. Your idol is still following you. The Bible says that they're in the wilderness. Pharaoh is gone. This is not Pharaoh forcing them. This is not the Red Sea. This is they're free. You're saved today. You're in church today. But your idol is still following you. Your idol on the inside is following you. It's chasing you. Because in Egypt, they were actually idolaters. See, we think of this. We think in Egypt, they were just worshiping God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Alive, alive. And the Egyptians over here. Hey-ya, 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 hey-ya. No, 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 no. The whole thing, they had been absorbed into that culture. The children of Israel were, hey-ya, 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 hey-ya. They were all doing it. This is why it says you've turned back. To turn back means you already had it once. This is what you were doing in Egypt. What you were doing in Egypt is now following you even though you're out of Egypt. See, it's like us today. Our old idols are still following us. We're saved, but those idols are following us. And an idol will always make you worship it in its own way. This is why the Bible says they started raving, taking off their clothes, raving. Because it's a debased culture. It's paganism. It's paganism. And so they made an idol. Imagine this is an idol. Let's just say this is an idol for today. And so this idol communicates to me. It dictates the type of worship it wants. It says, listen, this is the type of worship you want. Now let me give you some. Let's say that I'm not. But let's say I was a woman. Yeah, I've never been. Don't want to be. Praise God, I'm a man. Not wrong of being a woman. My wife's a woman. So is my mom. So this now, say this is a man. And just hypothetically, I know none of you have ever struggled with this. But say a woman has a man as an idol. Just hypothetically, I know not. It's too Holy Ghost here. Because man is a idol, this idol, this spirit dictates how you should worship it. It tells you. And so because she has man as an idol, she has to live. Because whenever you look at paganism or idolatry, there'll always be like a priest or a priestess. And they'll always have their own temple and their own robes and their own clothing. So what this idol will say, okay, I tell you how to dress. If you're going to worship this idol, man, you're going to have to dress. That is the worship of this idol. What you're doing, you're adorning yourself with your priestess clothing for the idol. Are you saved? Yes. Are you over the Red Sea? Yes. Do you have faith? Yes, that God will provide. But the problem is, this has been pursuing you. And the way that you dress, and when you go into the shops to pick things, you are picking your worship uniform. That's what you're doing. You're picking your worship uniform. Even the way that you conduct yourself, the way that you walk, all of that is worship to this idol of man. Let's switch it up a bit. Let's just say I'm a man. And I know again. No, let me say, there are many men that have women as their idol. Blatantly. See, I just deal with the men. The ladies, you know, I have to go a bit easy. But so say this is woman. But even more than woman, this is sex. Yeah, I said it. S-E-X. Yes. This is sex. And to many men, sex is an idol. Sex is their idol, man. Before I got saved, it was the biggest idol. I had many idols, but my other idols were like that. And the sex idol was like this building. And before you start judging me, men are looking terrible, 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 man. You got one. Some of you got your. Anyway, let's just move on. Let's just say this is the idol. So what is the worship of this idol? Fornication. Sex outside of marriage. You can't wait to marry a woman and have sex with her. You can't. Because your idol says, listen, I need worship. I can't be waiting for you to meet someone, meet the right person, and then court them and then engage them. I can't be waiting for that type of thing. I need worship now. If you're real, and so you've got to. And every idol wants to have its disciples, its followers, its worshippers. And so you sit down with your brethren and you put the TV on and you're watching those music videos, and I'm not even gonna, they're shaking it and wiggling it, and you're like, yeah, that's worship. We've come in today, it was like, we lifted our hands, we worship, set a fire down in my soul. We're singing that song, I want more of, that's what you're singing. You're like that, set a fire. You're looking at naked bodies. That's what it is. You're looking at pornography. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you. Click. I want more of you. Click. What that is the worship of the idol. Are you saved? Yes. I believe you got saved. Has God brought you through some things? Yes. But your idol is chasing you, is following you, is saying, worship me. Let me explain something here. We're laughing, we're joking, but I've felt the pull of idols. Let me just say this. Let me just lay this down. Oh, that pastor, I don't know, he's too human. Okay, find a Martian pastor then. I've been saved. God has brought me through. But I remember in my early years, idols were following me. They were following me. They were pursuing me. And there were times where I thought, where is the freedom that I read in the Bible? Why is there no freedom? Because they are pursuing idols. This is the thing that pursues you. Yes, within one day, God can bring you out of Egypt. Yes, within one day, God can bring you over the Red Sea. Yes, within one day, God can make manna fall from heaven. But even after you've gone through all of that, this idol is still chasing you through the wilderness. Because this is what happens. We can get you to stop the worship for a while. Acts, we read this, Acts 7 verse 39, it says, in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. See, it would be really easy is if we all saw your idol like next to you like this. Imagine we looked around and we could see everybody's idol. That guy has a lust idol. Sisters would be like, praise God, I don't need to go near that guy. He just comes in with a lust idol. Hello, sister. You're like, hello, no, goodbye. Or man idol, hello, bro. You're like, no. But we don't. You know why? Because our idols are not outside next to us like this. They're set up in our hearts. That's where they get hold of us. See, we can stop you from doing stuff. We can, let me put it this way. We can ban the worship, but we haven't removed the idol. So let's go back to the thing. We said a woman might have man as her idol. And so now she starts to dress modestly. So she's dressing all modestly. She's just covering herself. But the idol is still in her heart. We've only just banned the worship, but the idol is still there. We could have a guy and we've convinced that guy, stop looking at naked people on the internet. And he stopped. But really, the idol of sex and lust is still in his heart. And we've just banned the worship. But the idol is still there, and that idol is calling. That man or that sex or that whatever it is calling them. It's like, come on. You haven't worshipped me for ages. Come on. It's been months now. Come on. We used to have good times. Why are you doing me like this? And it feels like an itch that needs to be scratched. And it's getting, you ever had one of them itches that needs to be scratched? The other day I was driving somewhere, and I've never had this before. The bottom of my foot was itching. It was demonic. I'm driving, you know, the bottom of your foot. And I want to get to the traffic lights. I couldn't get to it. I was like, gotta get. And it was itching more and more and more. I was driving. I was ready to just get out of the car in the middle of the road. Just take off my shoes and sock. When you have an itch, you have an itch that has, that's how the idol feels. It's constantly calling you. It's like an itch. You get up in the morning and you've been to a good service. You prayed at the altar. You're like, praise God. Amen. I'm saved. Good morning. Open your eyes, sleepy. What about today? I let you off yesterday. You never even spoke to me. But what about today? Come on, man. It starts to reason with you. It starts to reason with you. It will reason with you so well. It whispers, sister, just text him. Just see how he's doing. Why do you, come on, sis. You've moved on. God has delivered you. God set you free from that brother. You stood up and testified, I was delivered. I'm going for God. Jesus is my man. Praise God, we heard your powerful testimony. Then you get up in the morning and that spirit, that idol says, give him a text. You give him a text. Okay, it's cool. There's no big thing. Texts you back. Oh, I'm fine. How are you? Just text him back. It's only polite. It's only the Christian thing to do. Now, how's he going to get saved if I don't text him back? And I'm only just trying to strike up a conversation to bring him to church. And then the brothers can take over. Because it's reasoning with you. It will tell you, bro, just go to a house. Nothing's going to happen. So it reasons, yeah, bro, just go to a house. Nothing's going to happen. Do you know how many things have happened because people thought nothing was going to happen? Maybe some of us, we exist because nothing was going to happen and we happened. Some of you are figuring that one out. What? Let's move on. What this, listen how this idol is so subtle. This is why this is the most dangerous of all things. Because this one is so subtle, because it starts to reason with you and you start to make excuses. And what it will start to say to you is this. It will start to say, listen. Okay, I understand you're a Christian now. You're out of Egypt. You're over the Red Sea. God's provided for you. You've got faith. I understand that. But it will start to say things like, just worship me in the secret place. See, before we were sinners, when we were in Egypt, we would worship it openly. We would be worshiping it openly. Everything was about, yeah, that's my God. Yeah, yeah, you see it, yeah. That's my, we worshiped it openly. Now the idol says, he realized it can't get open worship anymore. So it says, listen. Just worship me in secret now. I'll take secret worship. I know we used to have open worship. You used to big me up the most. I understand you got this other God in your life now. Tell you what, just worship me in the secret place. And you start to do things in the secret. Then it starts to bleed out into the public. But then it says, listen, well, just don't be worshiping me around your Christian friends. But like when you're at work, that's okay. When you're with your family, that's okay. But just don't worship me on a Sunday. I tell you what, I'll release you. I'll give you a work release, a worship release. You can go into the house of God on a Sunday and you can worship that God. And then when you're not in church, you can be back to worshiping me. Do you know that's how many Christians are living? That's how many Christians are living. They're worshiping their idol Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, and then on Sunday. See, it will keep bleeding, but eventually it starts to bleed out even in church. And you start to see little signs. Like, bro, why are you so flirtatious with the women in church? Oh, my idol's showing. My idol is showing. I thought you weren't going to, come on, you're embarrassing me. Hold it down. I'm in church. Okay, sorry. And then one day, you know what your idol says? Don't go to church today. Just miss one service, like the good old days. Just give me one Sunday, one Wednesday. Don't go to church today. And before you know it, you're not in church anymore. You're not serving God anymore. See, until you destroy this idol, you will keep going back to worshiping it. Let me close. There are many things in this life that are trying to make it to our hearts. Imagine if we said, okay, I've got £1 million here. The first one up here can have it. This place will turn mad. Listen, there'd be things flying, shoes flying everywhere, suits, Bibles, weave, eyebrows, everything. Be flying everywhere, man. Imagine the scramble to get here. You need to understand that's what's going on for your heart. There are many things scrambling for your heart right now. Because once it gets to your heart, remember what he said? He says, their hearts have turned back to Egypt. Once anything gets to your heart, it becomes an idol. Anything can become an idol. Anything. Your job can become an idol. Your job can become an idol. Your family can become an idol. Your children can become an idol. There are many things that can become an idol. Your ministry can be an idol. If you're a pastor, the church can be an idol. All of these things trying to get to your heart, trying to get to the throne where Christ should really only sit. To be free from the worship of the idol, you must remove the idol. You must remove the idol. You've got to get rid of it. You will not be free until you get rid of the idol. That's it. You've got to remove the idol. Say, you know what? This thing, it's got to go. It's got to go. That woke some of you up. It's got to go. You've got to get rid of the idol. There's no point you sitting up in church with this thing. There's no point. You will constantly go back to it. And this is the mark of genuine, lasting Christianity. Will you attack this? Will you attack this? Will you deal with your idols as violently as I dealt with this? Listen to what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Before I read it, let me say why some of you struggle. Some of you struggle because you've created your own golden calf. And you know where you've got your Christianity from? From some lukewarm, backslidden, religious people. And some of you here, you grew up in church. And that's why you think you've basically brought in that lukewarm, backslidden, half-hearted joke religion. You've come in here for a golden calf. You're projecting what you believe God should be like. And God wants to tell you, listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He says Christians should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Let me repeat that. What part has a believer with an unbeliever? You spend more time with unbelievers than believers. The Bible says, why do you do that when God tells you not to do that? What part has unbelievers with believers? He says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Hold up. What are you talking about the temple now? Why are you talking about the temple, Paul? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell with them, walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them, be separate. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean and I will receive you. God is not going to share you with your idol. You know what the scary thing is? This is what Jesus says. Either I sit on the throne of your heart, or I don't sit on you at all. Otherwise, I don't rule you at all. Think about it. Jesus says, I only sit on the throne of your heart. I won't share you. This is not a timeshare. When you bring Jesus into your life, he will destroy those idols. See, this is the beauty of God. God wants you so badly, he's destroying your idols. Some of you, God is fighting for you, but you think he's fighting against you. Why? Because he's destroying some idols. Some of you, some friendships, some relationships have gone a bit funny now. That used to have. We were friends from the day dot. Why is it going funny now? Because God's trying to destroy some idols. You came to church and then you started to realize that guy is a joke. You started to realize these people are not my friends. What's happening here? You start to realize, wow, how sinful. You're doing things that you used to do and now you feel so uncomfortable about doing it. So shameful, so unclean, and it's frustrating you because God is trying to destroy your idols. Because when you asked him into your heart, he said, no problem, I'm coming in, but I'm kicking over those idols. Listen, God is bad. Let me tell you this now, God is bad. Forget this fairy, mancy-pansy God that you've created. God is Charles in charge. God is bad. God is serious. Listen, 1 Samuel, I love this about God. 1 Samuel 5 verse 4. And when they wrote, so let me give you the background. They get the Ark of the Covenant. This was to represent God's presence. So the enemies of the children of Israel nicked this thing and they put it in their own temple. In front of their God. Like, yeah, we're just going to put that with our God. So we got our God there. We got the God, the real God there. Yeah, we got our idol and we got God. Idol, God. God said, listen, God's like, that ain't going to work. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon, that's their God, their idol, fallen on its face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And when no one was looking, God just said, get that thing out my face. Get that thing out of my face. God pushes it down on its face. I feel this people here. You want the golden calf, man. You want this God. This is why there's not much men in the church nowadays. Because the God the church has given them is a homo God. A soft God. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says, you put me in a room with an idol, the idol's going on its face. Yeah. It's going to hit the mat. God just went, I did a suplex on it. Just bam. Just get out of here. Woof! Knocked it down on its face. So when they come in, they're like, what's happened here? Not only that, God's not even put on his face. Then it said the head of Dagon and both his arms, sorry, the palms of its hands were broken off. God, think about this now. This is God doing this. God not only just put it on his face, pop off his head and take off his arms as well. See, we're dealing with some calves here today, man. We're dealing with some golden calves. I can see some of you, don't go near my golden calf. We're going to, listen, that thing's going on his face. And we're going to break off his head. And then we're going to take off his arms. It says only the torso was left of it. Because God wanted to show them, listen, that's what I'm going to do to your God. Destroy your idol. Look at someone say, destroy it. Destroy your idol. When you destroy the idol, you'll destroy the worship. When you destroy the idol, you'll be free to worship the living, holy God of Israel. The God of... listen. Some people, they come into church and when the worship starts, they struggle to worship God. And some of you have never even thought about it till I mentioned it. And now you're... It's true. It's like, I struggle to worship God. Deal with the idol, you'll be free. You'll be free. You'll be free to lift your hands. You'll be free to worship. The Bible says that Moses comes down and he sees that. And listen, this is all serious. I love this. This is pure masculinity. This is macho. Moses comes down and he throws the tablets. Bam. And then he gets the golden calf and he melts it. And then he crushes it. And then he sprinkles it on the water where they drink. And they're drinking it. This is how, listen, he said, listen, you wanted it. Moses destroys it, burns it, grinds it. But they had to drink it. Well, I was thinking, why did they have to drink it? They had to realize there is a cost to destroying an idol. When I got saved, before I got saved, like I had many idols. One of my main idols was music, hip-hop music. When we were preparing for the 90s concert, we said, okay, we're going to pick all the music for people to sing, you know, because we don't want people just coming up with some random tune. We're like, where was that? Who did that in the 90s? So we're picking songs and that. And then I was like, I remember this song. It's like, no, turn it off. That's an idol. That's an idol trying to chase me, man. Never sleep because the cousin. Honestly, no. My wife said, no, you can't be doing them Tuesday. You're enjoying that too much. No, we don't want that deep. It's up deep. Music was my idol. So I get saved. So think about this now. Probably about 6 o'clock, I leave the house to go to church. This is the second service I've ever been to in the Potter's house. I get the bus, 53, goes up Old Kent Road from Elephant and Castle. I get off the bus, go into the Civic Center. I've only been to church twice. I don't know anybody in the church. I don't know what's going on. I just go there, sit down. No shirt and tie. I don't know about nothing like that. I just got jeans and trainers. Who cares? And so I'm there. They preach the message. At the end, I was so convicted. I knew God was on me, man. I'd never felt preaching like this. And I put up my hand to get saved. I said, I need to get saved. I come to the altar. This guy prays with me. After the service, they talk to me, give me some information. I go back. As I'm walking back home to get on the bus, somebody says to me, throw away all of your music. Huh? What is that? I'd only been a Christian half an hour. Come on, give me a chance, man. Take it easy. I had over 100 CDs. I had music on music on music. The first thing I would do in the morning is put music on. The last thing I would do at night is have music on. I'd be constantly rapping and making music. I had loads of these pads I'd be writing and making music and learning music, and everything in my life was music. I couldn't go anywhere without music. If I went out of my house and I forgot my, back then it was Walkman. Some of you don't know about it. It was a Walkman, man. I'd go back. Oh, no, I forgot my Walkman. If I had music, I could just get through life. I'd be on the train listening to music. I'd be on the bus listening to music. I'd be in the stockroom listening to music. When I'd be doing my job, I'd be on the canteen listening to music. Everything was music. And on the day I get saved, God tells me, I want you to throw that away. Because that was my idol. Today, I want to ask you, what is yours? What is your idol? Christian, what is your idol? What has been pursuing you? There is a cost. Do you know, I'd only been saved half an hour. I went home. I didn't think about the amount of money I'd spent. You figure, calculate that. All those albums back then, they were still, you know, the CDs, they were £12, £15 each. I've got over 100 of them. That's a financial loss. People say, why didn't you sell them? No, I was told to throw them away. Why would I give someone else my idol? It costs me. It costs me something. It's going to cost you. If you want to destroy your idol, it's going to cost you something. You're going to feel it. You can't destroy an idol at no cost to yourself. And that's why they are so hard to get rid of. But Moses destroys it and he says, now I want you to drink it. Think about it, they're drinking it. I don't know how it came out of them. Don't ask me. But I know this much, when it did come out of them, ain't nobody going for it. If they would have just melted it back down to gold, they would have been able to use it for something else. Moses said, no, you drink it, because when that comes out, ain't no one touching it. Maybe it gave you a sore belly. But when they're drinking it, they realize the serious consequences of having an idol. Let me say something here. They would have never forgot it. Whether they agreed with it, whether they went back to it, they never forgot it. But let's bring it to today. Because of your and my idol, God is not expecting you to drink it. There is a cost. But God don't expect you to drink it, because Jesus already drank it. Because the Bible says that Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying, and this is preparing for the cross, and he takes on the sin of the world. And Jesus says in Luke 22 verse 42, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus drinks the cup. Not because he had idols. That was our idols, ground up and crushed. If you want to feel the seriousness of the consequences of our idolatry, think of Jesus on the cross. After that point, Jesus is arrested. Then he's falsely tried. Then he's tortured. I've said it many times. They beat him. They whip him. On the end of the whips, there's hooks into his side. Rip out his side. He's bleeding, hemorrhaging. They beat him, spit on him. They beat him so badly, you do not even recognize his face. It's covered in blood and bruises. If you've ever seen someone get hit so hard that you hit them hard on the nose, their eyes go black. If you punch someone so hard on the nose, they get a black eye. Their face will swell up like you'd never know. And I've seen people, they fall on the ground, they've fallen this, they've been in fights. They get up, swollen. They didn't even recognize him anymore. They beat him, they tore out his beard, tore out his hair. They mock him, they spit on him. They put him on a cross, he's hanging there naked. The shame of it. Muttering words. Look at that picture. Now look at your idol. Which one will you serve? Look what your idol has cost us. Look what your idol cost him. Today, will you walk out with your idol? Do you not see the ugliness of your idol when you look at the face of Christ? God is no longer saying, listen, I'm going to grind it up and make you drink it. No, he says, you know what? I love you so much. I want you to be free. I'm going to drink it. I'm going to suffer for your idolatry. I'm going to set you free. And he steps down and he rescues us out of the devil, out of Egypt. He brings us through every trial. He provides for us in the wilderness. And then we have the shamefulness to hold on to our idols and not serve him and not give our hearts to him. Jesus says today, listen. Do you want to be free? Today we want to have an altar call and we want to leave our idols here. The Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. I don't know what your idol is. I've had to wrestle with my idols. I haven't lived a perfect life and I haven't even lived a perfect Christianity. I've wrestled with idols. I've been ashamed of myself. Why am I not changing? And God has showed me, listen, it's an idol, Courtney. And when I laid that idol down, God set me free. And I want to tell you today, I live my life with the pursuit of putting Christ on the throne. Sometimes there's things, it's our turn now, get out of it, never be your turn. From now until eternity, he will sit on the throne of my heart. Your heart, that's your responsibility. Your heart, that's your responsibility. My heart, that's my responsibility. Let's enthrone Christ. Let's deal with some idols today. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.